I'm here with episode 3 of the current theme that we're doing, and this one is about covenants, which is a tough word, so we're going to have to sort of spend a little bit of time just finding out what a covenant is, and I apologise for that. There are some fantastic notes that Andy's done, and for those of you, and many of you would have received these notes through the email that was sent out. But if you would also like to have a hard copy, if you're a hard copy sort of person, Amy has done some copies and she's left them just outside there, which you can pick up later. Because this is actually quite a deep subject, and so it's probably better to have the deeper notes, because I'm going to give a very light touch to this as we go forward. The Bible documents humanity's understanding of God. And as each generation goes through, the Bible, which covers hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of history, the Bible picks up in different stages, in different waves, new understanding of God and of his relationship with us. And this is shown through the stories that are in the Old Testament and New Testament, and through the poetry, and through things called covenants, and it's reflected in the acts of service and forgiveness and faith of the community of people in the church. So we learn from each other, we learn from the Bible, and we learn from history, and it all builds together. Now, my talk this week is going to focus very much on the Old Testament covenants, and the purpose of the covenants is that they explain and help clarify our understanding of God. Yay, it works. So, to tell you a little bit about my history. So, I'm not quite this old, but in 1759. A man called John Wilson was born in Berwick-on-Tweed. It's a border between England and Scotland. It's a port town, and it's known for shipbuilding. And his son was also born there. And his son was born in South Shields. And his son was born also in South Shields. And all those generations, and the two generations afterwards, they were all born in seaside towns right by the sea. And they were all involved in the history of our maritime world and shipbuilding. In fact, one of my ancestors, James Wilson, he was an officer on the largest ship afloat at the time, the largest steam-driven ship afloat, called the HMS Himalaya. And so they're all part of this kind of history. And bless her consorts, my daughter Lois and her wife bought for me a family tree. And so we've got that up on the wall in the house. And actually, Emily actually researched it and did all the work herself. And so it's a lovely gift. And so I can sort of see this history going. And so as a result of that, I kind of got something of an affinity for the sea myself, and I love being by the sea, and I love being by the water as much as I possibly can. And I see waves as an illustration, as an image of that can be carried forward into the Bible and our understanding of the Bible. So you see the covenants and the history of the Bible coming like waves of truth, each one building on the one before, and each one building on the one before. And I had actually been taught, and I'd accepted this as a truth, and it actually isn't a truth, but that each of the covenants failed, and then they were replaced by a better one. But they're not; they're just greater and deeper, and more revealing truths as we go forward. So let me just talk a little bit about what a covenant is. I think it's helpful to understand that. And I'll start off with the key verse for today's talk, which is, "And now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, what a fantastic promise that is. And so it's just at the heart of it. They're so unbalanced, these covenants. They're so unbalanced because God gives so much, and asks so little of us in response. But I probably need to clarify again what I mean by a covenant. It's a difficult word. It's not a term that we use in everyday life. If you're a theologian or a lawyer, you might use it, but basically, we don't use it. And so, I suppose the way to summarise it is a covenant is a solemn promise. And it's marked by a very deep commitment that goes with that solemn promise. It's a bit more than an agreement just to meet up. You know, hi, I've got a covenant to meet up with you. But it is an agreement. But it's more than that kind of casual agreement. It's a solemn promise. And it's not like a contract either. Because contracts are legally enforceable. But this is a moral, it's a formal moral obligation. And to a certain degree, I think we might all agree that that's actually a higher standard than something that's merely legally enforceable. And because it's a moral agreement, it's actually central to the relationship between God and us as individuals. So understanding how that works, it's central. And the word covenant goes all the way through the Bible. You'll find it in Genesis, you'll find it in Revelation. You'll find it all the way through. And there's an evolving, like the waves crashing on the seashore, building and building throughout the Bible as that truth comes. Now, you could ask, how many covenants are there? This is a trick question because it's not really clear. I think there are untold millions of covenants. But it's very hard to find a scholar who will agree with me. And those scholars sort of say there's 6, some say 7, and some argue, as scholars do, endlessly about whether that one's 2 covenants or whether it's 1 and all that sort of stuff. But, so I'm out on the limb here. I think there are millions of covenants, but I'll come back to that just towards the end of my talk. Let me just go to the next verse. Yay. Covenants invariably present with a choice. And in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 15, God presents a choice. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. And just a few verses later, it says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. It's a very simple, asymmetric offer. You know, I give you everything. Your choice, your job is to choose life. So let's just go into 4 of the covenants that are covered by my talk and by the notes that support it, just so you can sort of see a little bit of them. This is one of those covenants that some people say are 2 and some people say are 1, and I'm happy to take it as 1. It's the Adam, and it's the oldest. And this is a promise from God, and it takes us from Adam as an individual to Adam as an enlarged family. It details really the blessings that come from obedience and the troubles that come from disobedience. And for anyone here who is a vegetarian, this is a particularly reassuring covenant. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 30, God said to them, "Be fruitful." And when I said to them, well, you know that the world was quite small in those days, and it was just Adam and Eve. So God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "See, I've given you every plant yielding seed that's on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." God, and it's interesting, is when these covenants, when these promises come to us, they're more than just for us. They're kind of for our families. They're kind of for our communities. They're kind of for the world that we live in, to keep it clean, to keep it pure, to keep it well-gardened and well-looked after. That's the kind of the key theme that comes out of the Garden of Eden. But unfortunately, the Garden of Eden story didn't end terribly well for Adam and Eve. And so we go on to another covenant, which is Noah, just post the flood. And this is a promise that God made to Noah after the flood. And one of the things that I'd like to draw out here is each of these covenants are very, very similar to the one before. Yeah, because God hasn't changed his heart for us. He hasn't changed his intention materially for us. This is all building and clarifying as we go through history. And God said to Noah, and in this, Noah moves from a family to a tribe. It becomes part of a bigger social organization as a result of this covenant. He says, "As for me, I'm establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So God is making more and greater promises. This is part of a covenant with Noah, which helps build that family into something much more significant and serious in the community. Move on to Abraham. Now, in the history between Noah and Abraham, Abraham's family find themselves near Ur of the Chaldeans. If you've not been there, I haven't either. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land, to Israel, that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation." And so this new covenant is to make a great nation. And so it builds again the same basic promise of prosperity, the same basic promise of love, the same basic requirement for a degree of obedience to God's ways and God's practices. But it builds to a bigger scale. As we go through. And I'll move on again to Moses. And the verse I read out earlier from the Moses covenant. And it says to obey the rules and to obey the laws that I bring you. But he says again very, very clearly, "I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." And it's a simple choice for us to choose to do that right thing, to buy into that gracious, extending, loving, including covenant from God to us. And at this time, God's pledge was to free the nation from slavery, and to establish it as a a great kingdom in Israel. And it came with quite a lot of laws and rules and legislation and controls and those different kinds of things. Perhaps appropriate to creating a nation out of a tribe, to try and codify the rules and the regulations. But it opens invariably to that same doorway, which is to choose life. Yeah. So people will actually choose to do that right thing. Now the next covenants that are detailed in the notes and things like that are for my successor in this series, and she will have the joy of teaching us about the great love of God that comes through Jesus in the future things. But it's a matter of choosing life. Earlier, I suggested that there were millions of covenants. And I'm being a bit cheeky here and perhaps stretching my brief somewhat to say that. But I think that's because just as it was with Adam, there was that covenant with Adam as an individual for blessing. That God actually wants to make a covenant with each of us individually, personally. Our own unique piece of blessing. And it just stretches to us as individuals. And that's because God, through all of this, is the same story going all the way through the Bible, which is God establishing and reaching out and stretching and opening his heart to us because he wants a relationship with us. A chance for blessings to each of us. And so for each of us, there's a covenant, our own personal covenant. A chance to live a life that brings a blessing to others. And that's actually one of the nice things about all of this, is that when the blessings of the covenant come to us, it's not just you that's blessed. It's those around you. It's, in fact, the animals. It's the land. It's all around. It's our friends and our family and the generations that follow. This blessing just flows out of us onto other people. And so it's a chance for us to live a life that brings a blessing on others. And that's the truth of the Bible as it's spread through history. And so I would encourage you to choose life and to choose those life as we go forward.
Okay, cheers.